Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Hello and welcome back to Swinging Through Spider-Man. We're fresh, actually, from a live episode. We recorded live at the Birmingham Podcast Festival. And Brad, it went really well, didn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it went swimmingly.
Yeah, good enough, weren't it? I'm James. That's Brad. This is Swinging Through Spider-Man each week. We read The Amazing Spider-Man by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko in chronological order. Well, I'll say Steve Ditko for now. It will move on to a different artist soon enough, but have you been finding it so far? It's picking up a bit now. We're delving into the character a bit more of Peter Parker.
Yeah, it's
a lot behind
him. Starting to find more of his heroic feat. Like I said in the live episode, you know, it started off as a cash grab. It started off as a way to earn some funds. But
it was an ego boost, wasn't
it? Yeah. It was his dad's shed. A way to get out of his head and do some get some money in and at the same time, but now he can get out of his head and do some good at the same time.
So a little bit of housekeeping. If you did enjoy our live show, if you were there, or if you were listening to the episode which went up, you know, after the live show, then please do leave a review. It's probably the best thing you could do for us is leave us a review, you know, leave as many reviews as
you can.
Even
if you don't fancy like leaving us a review, just a direct message to us on our Twitter or our Facebook, that'll also be really helpful. We really want to know what you thought of that live episode, because there is a possibility that we may do some more in the future, depending on if we get any good feedback.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, anything helps. And we do love speaking to you. That's at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. But, mate, let's do some catching up, because last episode, the Spider-Man, he had a little tangle with the cat, and I can reveal to you the fate of the cat, because, I'm a big fan of the Punisher comics, Brad.
Oh, okay.
So I can tell you where this is going.
A little bit on the inside here.
The comic Punisher War Journal, I don't know, because I've read so many of them, you know, over the last summer. This summer, I've been reading Punisher for ages, from, you know, beginning with the Garth Ennis run. It's fantastic. You know, if you like Preacher or comics of that ilk, you'll love the Punisher, because it is so gritty and dirty, and it's like black comedy as well. It's humorous. But the cat, he's that kind of small potatoes villain that was in the last one.
To phrase him directly, yeah.
Yeah, he's a small potatoes villain, and he's ranked, you know, all his powers are ranked at level one by the Marvel Wiki. I can actually reveal to you his end, because when I saw him at the live show, it kind of ticked me off, and I was like, I know that name, and he doesn't come up again in Spider-Man. He comes up again in The Punisher when a funeral is being held for a small-time criminal, so all the small-time criminals gather.
Did it get together in the costumes?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's all a blur, because I've read so many.
But could you imagine like Mysterio getting choked up at a funeral? He'd just have to draw, like, wipe the tears from his fishbowl.
Yeah, so they're all pouring one out, basically, for one bloke who's died. And the cat is there. And there's a barman who's, you know, very eager to serve drinks. That barman, mate, is Frank Castle, the Punisher. You don't know the Punisher. He punishes criminals. He shoots them. He kills them straight. There's no remorse.
I watch Netflix. I know.
Yeah, everyone knows the Punisher. He's out there, you know. But so all these criminals are there, and the bartender is Frank Castle, disguised, and he's serving them drinks, and they all start dropping, mate.
It sounds like he's about to serve some fucking whoop-ass as well.
Yeah, so the cat drops to the floor, man. He's been poisoned. It ain't the poison that kills him, mate. Well, everyone's kind of disabled by the poison. Frank Castle just sets fire to the entire bar and leaves them to die.
See, Hero thought he was like, he served him a milkshake or something, and like, and the cat burglar's like, oh no, I'm actually lactose intolerant.
No, the cat dies. Oh, horrifically.
Oh God, no.
So yeah, that's a bit of wrap up there, mate. Shall we get into the new one, or have you got any final thoughts on the passing of the cat?
Oh, it's just
Don't give a shit. To be honest,
Z-list motherfucker, man. We got 700 more of these motherfuckers to go, man.
Yeah, of course, this is a spoiler from, you know, the 2000s. So we're jumping ahead about 40, 50 years here.
Yeah,
but I don't care. It was it rang a bell. So why not? We'll get into the meat of the matter, though, mate. Because directly after the cat, we have issue 31 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Shall we get into it?
Let's dive in.
Our hero Spider-Man is doing his thing and swinging about when he notices a suspiciously similar group of masked men. Because remember, last issue, he bumped into a group of masked men who were apparently under orders of the cat, and they were stealing uranium right in this marked van.
See, I thought that these guys were the same guys from the movie that Spider-Man jumped into, and there was just like, it's going to cost us thousands to set up the helicopter again. And he's just like, you guys are in costumes. In a helicopter, yeah. Above New York. That's not on me, guys. That's on you.
Exactly, exactly. So this masked group, they're still about, and they're not necessarily working for the cat because the cat is small potatoes. So something's going on here.
Mm.
We'll get to that, though, because Spider-Man, being Spider-Man, interrupts this heist. It's at an atomic facility.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. He interrupts them, jumps their escape helicopter, and starts a scrap. But the crew, being a smart crew, dump their cargo into the water. Spider-Man is distracted by their attack, so he can't really chase the cargo, the important stuff, because the criminals are beating up on him. They drop a nerve agent or a sleeping gas on him.
Oh.
And it kind of gets to him. He can hold his breath, but it kind of gets to him a bit. That messes him up, so he makes his escape, and he thinks, hang on, I can take this down. He attacks the rotors of the helicopter.
You know what? Smart move.
Sending everyone in the helicopter down.
Murder, suicide, yeah!
And he's outside. Yeah, so the helicopter is plummeting on top of him now. So he's jumped out, attacked the rotor, jumped off. Everything is coming towards him at high velocity. Sends everyone into the drink, mate.
Good. Oh, no, wait. They've just come out of the atomic factory. And it's going into the drink.
Yeah.
Do you want Myalurx? Because this is how you get Myalurx.
This is an increasing amount of Fallout references in this
podcast.
I'm just
hungry for 76.
Aren't we all? The entire thing hits the ocean. The cargo's gone. Spider-Man comes to do. Everyone's gone. Everyone is gone. He's just surrounded by a wreckage. The reason the cargo's gone, mate, is because another crew has been deployed from an underwater base to go and take it. This is being planned out.
He's fucking trying to take on the Thunderbirds.
There's tools here.
I mean, to be fair, they are well prepared. If it feels like the opening... Oh, actually, I can't say that. That's spoiler alert. I was about to say something from the opening of Jurassic World. Ooh, yeah, good job I caught my tongue there.
It's still very relevant at the recording of this podcast. It's only been out a month. I think we can speak Infinity War, mate. I don't even know if we can. Can you?
Grey area.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. But, mate, you could say that that heist has been master planned.
It's almost as though it's been planned to think Spidey was going to put it in the drink.
Yes. The next day, shall we check in on Peter Parker, mate?
Yeah, he's not. His life's not going too well at the moment, is he?
Yeah, he is Spider-Man. Well, but yeah. We'll check in on him.
Yeah, but
not just Spider-Man.
It's not. The thing is that we know that Spider-Man and Peter Parker are like, yeah, they occupy the same body, but they are two very different people.
Oh, yeah, because he can do whatever he wants as like Spider-Man and live his life. It's like his dad's shed. Go out. The world's your oyster, man.
Imagination time. Some wood.
Wi-Fi does not reach the shed.
It's just old-fashioned VHSs.
Are there any plugs in the shed? This is what... No, I don't think there are, Brad. I think it's just you and four panels of wood and a roof.
No. You know those old, like, 70s radios that are powered by the D batteries? You know the hefty motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. That in the shed. You know, he says he's going out to go fix, you know, the shelves. He's not. He's just got beers up there.
He's fixing himself.
he's fixing himself on the inside. That's what's important.
Fixing something. Not necessarily what you want him to fix for you when he goes to that shed, but what he needs to fix for himself. Yeah, Peter's going to need a fixing soon enough, mate, because the next day, mate, he actually leaves to sign up for college. If he got that, I think it's Empire State University.
Yeah, he got
the scholarship, mate.
Yeah.
Paid for. He's the only one who's got the scholarship, apart from Flash. Two people, privileged.
It does, mate.
Enough.
It does make me laugh, though, because, like, you know, before Peter left high school, he was like, thank fuck, I'm never going to have to see Flash again. And he gets called into the office with Flash. And he's just like, you're both going to the same university. He's just, Peter's just like, instantly, oh, fuck.
I don't know. They kind of get along-ish. I mean, that's probably the closest thing he's got to a best friend.
Well, in the last issue, Flash Thompson was ready to fucking knock his face clean off his shoulders for being by Liz Allen.
Yeah, but Peter put his teeth marching out his backside like soldiers, yeah, mate. One punch. So Pete's gone to sign up for the university. He's having a blast, mate. Library's thick, full of books. He's getting on that science. You know, the program works to him.
His nerd
and this
on.
Is it. His life has expanded dramatically over the course of like a few hours where he's signing up and filling the forms and seeing the place. However, things don't go to plan, mate, because he gets home, settles down, Aunt May speaks to him, and she collapses.
Fuck. Aunt May.
Yeah, she is, as you can see, she drops. He gets the doctors over. They send an ambulance, take her to hospital, where she looks sick, mate, undiagnosed with something's going on. But she's really ill, and that throws Pete off off his thing, mate, because of course he's got his first proper day at university, college, whatever it's called. He feels really guilty, and it sends him in actually genuinely into a depression that's quite well depicted. He's just ignoring everything apart from the thoughts of Aunt May and his own guilt.
To be fair, he's got a lot on his plate at the moment. I don't blame him for feeling that way.
He slumps into depression. No, you can't blame him. He slumps into depression and gives everyone the cold shoulder. This includes, mate, our pal Flash Thompson and his new crew. He's got a new crew.
That's fucking quick.
High school beauty queen Gwen Stacy and her pal Harry Osborn.
Ah, I see where this is going.
Yeah, they're the it crowd.
How the fuck is Harry Osborn the it crowd? How how the fuck is that bow tie wearing son of a bitch with that crazy ass cornrow hair the it
Have
crowd?
Have you seen that picture? He is the least mate. Fitting. Mate. Like those clothes do not fit him.
Not one bit, man.
But, no, they're the it crowd. Obviously Harry Osborn. I don't know what he's doing. But I think we know from the films that he's got Rich Daddy. I think we can say Rich Daddy.
Rich Daddy.
Gwen Stacy, high school beauty queen, and Flash Thompson, high school football star. It's the Three Musketeers, mate.
Yeah, the trifecta, man.
Pete gives him the cold shoulder, not because he's actually trying to, but because he can't get his aunt off his mind. The Three Musketeers see this as arrogance, and it's not just them, it's everyone. He's not even speaking to the tutors, he's not speaking to, you know, the science friends, he's not speaking to Flash.
To be fair, he could speak to Flash about it, because at the end of the day, last time that Aunt May collapsed, Flash visited her in hospital.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. I really appreciate that. That's some knowledge, brother. That's hashtag knowledge.
Yeah, callbacks, man. If you don't remember the flashback, go back and, you know, listen to our catalogue. We're going to plug that.
It's easy enough.
Not aware.
This day and age, you can do that. Mm. But he's not just like giving them the cold shoulder. He's just rushing everywhere. He's like blowing past them.
That's super Spider-Man speed.
Yeah, like, I got to go. And everyone's getting pissed off. They see this as arrogance, mate, because he's the only person there with a scholarship. So everyone thinks Flash. He's really big-headed. Yeah, but, you know, Flash is actually being nice to everyone.
A sports scholarship is, like, quite... That's, like, quite... But common? I don't know.
Fairly. Yeah. But even then, like, you don't know. I think they're the only ones.
It's more in the public eye, isn't it? Like, the...
Yeah.
I can't think of any movie where someone's got into college just by being really smart.
That's true. But I think there are scholarships. I mean, when we were applying for university, they were there. So I guess it was more publicized back in those days when it was a really big deal to get a scholarship.
Yeah,
like an incredibly big deal, especially for Peter. But everyone thinks he's big-headed, but Gwen sees this as a challenge. She thinks that Pete's mysterious, and she begins to find him attractive because of this mysterious, but he's not mysterious. He's just upset.
Yeah. He's basically being the dark, brooding teenager that's still got all that angst pent up in him.
Yeah, Gwen likes this. She thinks he's attractive. Not just that, though. She thinks that he's mysterious and got a bit of a edge to him. Harry doesn't see this at all. Harry Osborn doesn't see this at all.
So Gwen's looking over at him, and she's literally like the only other female in the comic other than his aunt at the moment. And she's just like, it's almost like he's got a secret.
Yeah, everyone's onto the secret. I like that's the official voice of Gwen Stacy now, isn't it? You've nailed it.
I can't even remember what I did.
Harry plays a prank on Peter because that's the type of guy this man seems to. He does look like a clown. So that's in character.
That bow tells you yes. Yes, he is a clown.
Yeah, he just fucking wrecks Peter's experiment in class. And Peter's like, I was so distracted, I didn't even know I got it mixed up. Sorry, Professor. So it didn't work because Peter wasn't even angry at Harry. He just walked off upset. And they all kind of feel sorry for him now. They're like, what is going on with this guy? And they ask him, hey, would you like to go and grab a Coke with us? Because that is the 60s thing, isn't it? Go and grab a
fair,
Coke.
Like, grade A friendship here. Like, if you notice that your friend's not acting right, speak to him. As simple as that. Like, this is probably the nicest thing that anyone's ever actually done for Peter so far.
Then Pete goes into full Napoleon Dynamite mode and just sprints. Going, I gotta go. Head down, coming off.
Tina, eat the food, you fat lard.
They take this the wrong way with Gwen Stacy swearing revenge because no boy does this to Gwen Stacy.
Oh, how mighty she is.
At the Daily Bugle, there's no news. This means that J. Jonah Jameson is flipping out and he sends his top boy, Fred Foswell, to stir up some news. Go find some news.
Like, what does he mean by stir up? Does he mean, like, go make something? Or just go find a scoop?
This means go play snooker and see if you can hear anything because this is all you do.
Snooker's shorthanded for, like, the lowlives, isn't it? That's what we've gathered so far from these comics.
This is going to take a quick turn, mate, because Foswell, his alter ego Patch, he basically puts a mask on with a patch and a hat on. He goes to the bar and just sits around and listens to things.
Do you ever reckon he shared a warm ale with Green Goblin?
More than likely, I think he's more of an IPA guy.
Nah. You know what Foswell drinks? He drinks stout. He drinks Guinness. He stands at the bar and like he's about to get it served to him, and he's like, no, you got to let it sell.
But what if he says it? What if he breaks character and he doesn't do it in his Patch voice? He does it in his Foswell voice?
You got to let it settle. I mean, you got to let it settle.
It's like the bartender's just swilling the glass. He's like, hey, you sound like the Fred Foswell guy. Like, who's that?
Yeah, he came in and he was, what was his name? He was a little man, weren't it? No, he's a big man. I mean,
So, Foswell's been dispatched into the criminal underworld to find something out. See what's happening. At the same time, Spider-Man is looking to take photos to earn some money to pay off these growing medical bills.
Yeah, they are growing as well. Like, he's not even paid off, like, even one quarter of the previous medical bills so far. Because as we know, money runs through Peter Parker's hands like fucking water.
Money talks.
Money talks. Dirty cash will haunt you. Dirty cash need you want. Yes.
Speaking of cash, going into the gems side of cash, we've got a marriage proposal to talk about.
That was an awkward segue, but I'll
that
take
was it. Hard. You take that, just go I'll along with it. Ned Leeds still hasn't heard from Betty Brant about his marriage proposal. I wonder why, considering she's known him 5 minutes.
Right. If you ask a girl to marry her and she told you she has to think about it, take that as a sign, mate. Just walk away. There's no point dwelling on it, man. It's not going to work. Just turn around, pawn the ring, get on with your life.
Well, she says that she's waiting to learn something before she can give an answer. She's waiting on Peter, mate, basically.
Meanwhile, Ned's like, "Did you need to go back to college? Did you go back to school? I'll pay for your bill. I'll take you."
Are you sure? You sure that kid just won a scholarship in, say, Peru? You know, we can send him there. It's fine. Bugle pay for you. He can go.
He can go. Not a problem.
But no, Ned says he'll wait, mate. Gets creepy. Because I still feel the same way about you, Betty. And hey, if you say no, I'll keep asking until you say yes.
I mean,
I don't agree with that.
After like the 36th time, you're starting to get into restraining order territory.
You could probably ask twice. But I think you have to respect the first answer.
Ned strikes me as the kind of guy that goes, "Do you want to marry me yet?" "No." "What about now?" "No." "Now?" He's just constantly there.
I don't like Ned. I know he's meant to be a stand-up guy, but that isn't a stand-up thing to do.
I hate the phrase. I really, really, really hate the phrase, but it was a different era.
But no. Like, no. There's no way. If someone goes like, "Ned, you're a nice guy, I don't want to marry you," you can't just keep saying yeah. And no, to be fair, I know a few people, like grandparents of friends and stuff, and the dude's literally proposed to like the woman 4 times. And it worked out in the end.
You need to remember that this is still a step up from literally just grabbing some rope and hauling that bitch to back to your house. And that was it. You were married. Like, that was...
That still happens. God damn, this is getting difficult. But, no, Ned isn't taking no for an answer. He's just going to wait around. Betty's just going to have to say yeah, unfortunately. This is difficult for...
To be fair to Ned, she hasn't said...
Imagine if you're the geezer at the office sitting listening to this next to you, just trying to keep your head down.
The geezer next to him would be constantly dropping hints about how he's so busy and how there's so much work on.
Yeah, he's just sitting back, he's just hearing this argument in the background. He's just
It's so busy.
Tough day, guys.
If only there was every man working, all hands on deck.
I mean, if the head writer was here, Foswell's away, but that falls on Ned. Come on, Ned. Write something, Ned.
Just the longest stretch in existence.
Imagine it's like fucking sweltering there as well, like it is in England right now, and there's no news. They're just sitting around in an office tearing
Jameson
shit out of each other.
Slapping up your eyelids.
Yeah, the physical lifting, man. Your eyelids.
Like, that smoke would be thick. Like, there'd be DJs in there, like, wishing, like, asking around for the smoke machine.
Where's Foswell, though? He's at the bar where he's been sent, and this is where things take that turn. He overhears,
has it took a turn because his Guinness has finally settled?
No, it's took a turn because he's overheard a conversation where... nuclear devices are going to be unloaded at the docks.
So, if I get this right, he's gone to go tell Jameson rather than telling the police.
No, he actually went, "Oh shit, I've got to tell the cops, but I don't have any evidence because all I've heard is a shady man say this." He goes to the next best person. He goes out onto the street and starts flashing a light at the sky.
Is this to attract Spider-Man?
It's to attract Spider-Man.
Is Spider-Man not Mothman?
Look, Spider-Man looks, he's like, oh.
A flashing light.
There's a light flashing. I'll check that out. And Foswell's there, disheveled, sweating in his patch mask, going, "Hey, I need your help. I need your help."
And Spider-Man doesn't just fold his hands and go, "This is suspicious."
No, he folds his hands and goes, "Oh, I've got no money."
So he's essentially like, he's bribing him. Like, it's not even bribe.
Like a beggar? He's like, "Oh, shit, you can go to this hostel, mate." But No, Spidey mistakes him for a beggar, but sticks around long enough for Patch to get the story out. And he's like, mate, there's going to be a robbery. Or I get, he's going to be sweating. He's going to be angry. He's like, God, Spidey, hey, there's a robbery taking place at the docks. And Spidey's like, oh, what's going on? He's like, nuclear bombs.
If he's sweating, does that mean that he would fall in and out of his Patch character because he's so fucking shocked?
Imagine the mask, the latex mask is detached from his neck with sweat and he's just flapping around. It would actually look like Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And Spider-Man's like, I should definitely trust this guy. If there's one thing I've learned from now about geezers in masks, it's you should trust them.
Yeah, don't trust the guy whose face looks like a face on top of his face. Just like a hollow mouth flapping around.
unless they are like, you know, a burn victim or something. That way you should give them sympathy and possibly, you know, donate to one of the charities that help with that sort of thing instead of taking a piss out of them.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, Spidey's just hanging around, and but when he hears that word nuclear bomb and he's off, when you hear that word, usually you'd be out the city, mate. But Spidey runs to confront the issue head on. These nuclear devices, they're getting robbed or moved by the same mask gang.
It's starting to come together.
They ambush Spidey with the gas, but it doesn't work this time. So they put him in a net.
Okay. Good tactic.
Yeah, so he gets stuck in the net and he can't really get himself out. And he's just screaming at him. He's like, well, I love swimming. And yeah, drop me in the water. I'll be fine. And then he rips the net and goes onto the boat. They're all gone. They've dived into the ocean. So he's just screaming at nobody. Yeah, he's just all his acrobatics to get out, rips it, and he's chatting to him the whole time.
Oh, shit.
They're gone.
Do you reckon Spider-Man took a moment to just be like, oh, fuck's sakes. Do you reckon he just got straight back onto it?
Imagine him just lying in the net like, oh.
It wasn't
working. Here we go again. Yeah. I'd have given up. But the police are on scene, so Spidey has to steer clear. They're thanking Patch. And Patch is like, hey, Spidey was here. I swear to you. I swear to you.
The police are shaking hands with his geezer with a rubber mask on. He's like, thanks, weird guy.
They just want him out of there. Like, no paperwork.
He's like Rorschach. He's like, give me back my face.
No, he's like, I swear, guys, there was a gang that was dressed completely in purple, and there was nuclear devices, would you believe it? And Spider-Man was here, and they're just like, yeah, calling like...
The men in white coats.
What would the... section. He's going to get sectioned.
Sometimes it's best to just walk away.
Spider-Man cannot grab photos either because the crime has been committed.
Oh, there goes his paycheck.
But however, narration on the comic reveals that Spidey has disrupted the plans of the man named as the Master Planner.
We got a bit of foreshadowing earlier.
Master Planner, who prepares his revenge as he creates an atomic ray in his undersea base with all his new nuclear stuff.
You think you'd see someone creating an undersea base in New York? You'd think that would catch someone's attention.
I don't put anything past these fucking idiots.
You just got to take it, ain't you? You just got to shrug and go, Spider-Man.
We end on a sad note as this doctor looks shook when he learns the news. They've run their tests. And the results are in, and there's an inescapable conclusion that Aunt May won't be living much longer.
Fucking hell. Well.
But that doctor, mate, looks pale as fuck.
Mate, he doesn't even have a fucking neck. You know what? He looks like... Mate, he literally looks like he's been hit with a frying pan. Like, you know, in Tom and Jerry? When, like...
He looks like his face has slid off.
Yeah. Like, he looks worse than Patch.
And Patch has a fake face.
Exactly.
Imagine Patch is at the bar though, and the patch is like rubbery, isn't it? So like the light is just shining off it, like reflecting off it, and no one's saying a thing. But yeah, that's where it ends. First day at uni, Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, Flash Thompson, master planning, possible cancer. That's where it's ended.
Can't get over that fucking doctor's face, though. It's like there's one doctor next to him that looks like a perfectly normal frog-faced man, as we know that's how everyone looks in this. And the other guy just looks like he's like, oh, I'm sorry, it looks like your aunt won't be making it. It's like, did you put an air bubble in the IV? Well, if I can't live with this face, nobody else can live.
He looks like H.P. Lovecraft. Actually,
does though. He
looks like it's like a. Well, hey, doctor, can I get the results of my test? And he's like, well, I have a sense of impending doom as the Eldritch Keech has moved in, and there's nothing but a black sky. And the tentacles of Cthulhu. And so, can I just get? Am I HIV positive or HIV negative? You're HIV doomed.
Fucking hell.
In a good way.
In a good
so,
way.
Just give me the straight answer. Stop being spooky all the time.
He does
just finish the story.
He just looks like he goes home to like his little black apartment and just sticks on the Addams Family throughout the whole night. It's like you go down the corridor and then you've got Lovecraft in office one and then you got fucking Edgar Allan Poe in office two.
It's just not good.
The worst doctors. Worst.
They're having a mind warfare all the time. Whenever they look up from their like pages of doomed writing.
Could you just imagine the emails to each other? It'd be like, subject, another fucking crow.
I ate a waffle today and the caramel made me sad. That's literally all it would be. When my wife walked up the aisle to me, I just felt doomed. It's just everything is so bad. If you've ever read any of their books, it's so everything is doomed and it's so dark all the time. There's no positivity. There's no light shining in. But Spider-Man's going that way. That doctor is never going to give him a straight answer. The front of the tests, Aunt May is in bad shape. And that's where we end, mate.
Oh, man. It is a bit of a downer. At least we know with that little bit of exposition at the end, we know that it's not going to be the case for long, hopefully.
Maybe. We'll get
a conclusion from this.
Yeah, but things are in motion and we don't know where they're going to end.
Mm.
So stay tuned and we'll be back with the second in a three-part arc, I believe.
Oh, sweet. Three parts.
Yeah, three-part arc, even though the cat thing led into it. But they're calling it a three-part arc on Wikipedia, so who am I to argue?
Yeah, I'll take it.
So, yeah, if you liked it, please do speak to us at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. You can find us there. You can find us on Instagram when we update it. We're on Facebook, of course, on all the good podcast services. And if you did like the show, leave a review or message us. Do whatever you can and... We'd love to hear off you.
Yeah. Also make sure that if you did catch the live episode, the episode previous to this, we definitely want your feedback on that. You know, it was a real fun day, and we'd like to know how you feel about us performing live. If you think that maybe it's something we can improve on, because that's the thing, we want to make sure that we get a good show together. Yeah, just please get in touch. You know, we appreciate everything and we read everything as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for your support so far, and we wouldn't be doing a live show without you. And again, yeah, rest in peace, Steve Ditko, and we'll catch you soon, guys. Goodbye.